Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
I thought learning a language would be too much work, but Babbel makes learning fun. J'aime Babbel.
Babbel's lessons only take 10 or 15 minutes, and soon you turn and realize, hey, I'm starting to speak another language. How'd that happen?
Babbel isn't robots talking. You learn words and phrases from real native speakers. I was ready for real-life conversations in just a few weeks. So easy.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Gum-Out Fuel Injector Cleaner can clean your entire system and help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, you can get two bottles for only $7, a great deal to help you go a good deal farther. Find Gum Out Fuel Injector Cleaner and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any of our 6,200 stores.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Natalia, solid dismount, but that little pause is a deduction.
Top tumblers hope to stick the landing with Coach Jasmine.
That aerial sequence still needs work.
She needs more certified athletic trainers to find her balance.
Focus. I'm going to need you for the all-around. Wait, who's spotting the vault?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN Wichita is your home for the NFL Draft.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes, the second.
The Bears was at 7-10 team last year. That's pretty good for a team that has the first pick. It's pretty exciting, you know, if you could go into a situation like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to just be blessed wherever I hear my name called. It's a blessing, something that, as a kid, I dreamt about.
Follow the NFL Draft on your hometown station, ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Christine Lisi. Sources tell ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski the Bucks preparing to be without star Giannis Antetokounmpo for the start of their first-round playoff series against the Pacers, but hope treatment on his calf strain will allow him to play at some point in the series. Whether or not Giannis plays won't impact the series outcome, believes First Take host Stephen A. Smith.
With how explosive Indiana is, I think that they're a locomotive that Milwaukee is incapable of neutralizing. So my attitude is, I wasn't surprised by this news. I didn't expect him to start, but I'm anticipating he's going to be back, and I still got Indiana winning this series.
Blake Griffin, top overall pick in the 2009 NBA draft, announced his retirement from the league. Michigan, that got 3 years probation, was fined and hit with recruiting violations during the pandemic under former football coach Jim Harbaugh. Rory McIlroy told the Golf Channel he plans to finish his career on the PGA Tour, denied a report he'd been offered $850 million to move to LIV Golf. Baseball Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog has died at the age of 92.
Feeling great starts with a great shave, and great shaves start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You're listening to The Pulse with Pat Strothman on ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
Small town, big dreams. His city would get seen. Now I'm winning, get sheen in the city of the home of our
heroes. What's up, Wichita? Happy Tuesday, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the beautiful weather that's outside. Lots of sunshine out there. Breeze coming from the north. It's nice. It's beautiful outside. Welcome into the polls. I'm Wichita sports leader, ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM. If you're out and about,
listening to the station with the windows down. We appreciate you. But I'm sure you're not going to be driving forever. So when you get to your destination and you don't have a radio inside, well, here's how you can still listen to the show. If you have a smart speaker where you're going, tell it to tune into ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM or KKGQ. Sometimes that's a little bit better for some people. If you have a smartphone, you can download the TuneIn app. Very simple thing to use. The number one way, though, where you can catch the show and also check out other things is ESPNWichita.com. On there, there's information about our first ever listener golf tournament, which, by the way, you should sign up because each person that does gets a pair of tickets to a future Win Surge game, just FYI. But also, we have a podcast page on there if you want to check out old shows. That's how you do it, in addition to Spotify and Apple Music. Producing the day, Jack Johnson. I'm Pat Strothman. You can be a part of the show by calling in 316-669-4996, 316-669-4996. The text line number is 316-247-0923. I see Nate the Great saying it's hot out there. Come on now. What is it, 80 degrees? With plenty of wind? 76 right now. That's hot. Apparently, Nate wants nothing but cold weather. And of course, number one Dodgers fan is saying we will be driving forever if we are Uber drivers. Ah, well, I guess if you are an Uber driver, then yeah, I guess that's what's going to happen. 316-247-0923. Appreciate those two checking in right away here on the show. Feel free to drop in your sports takes as we move along here for today. Also, too, if you want to interact on social media, check us out on Facebook, Twitter/X, Instagram, like and follow all those different pages, please and thank you. We sure do appreciate it. Here on the show today, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. He'll be a part of the program. We are inching closer to the NFL draft. Who is being selected by the Kansas City Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes is on the front cover of Time magazine. And I'm sure we'll talk about some other stuff as well with Matt Derrick. That's coming up at 2:25. He's brought to you by Intrust Bank. 2:45, we should start planning for 2030, 2031. I'll explain a little bit more when we get to that point. Hour number two begins with a Tuesday with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll check in with Taylor. Wichita State's able to get someone for the transfer portal, a transfer from Lipscomb. We'll talk to him about A.J. McGinnis and some potential targets for Wichita State. We'll also get his thoughts on Wichita State baseball, Wichita State softball, and we also have to get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs because I know he is locked in when it comes to that. Afterward, we'll do what's happening. We'll take a look at what's going on in the sports world just in general. I know there's a lot of different things taking place, so we'll sift through a lot of different headlines when we get to that point. And then we will wrap things up with a Take Two Tuesday. Jack Johnson always finds a way to come up with some good topics. So we will get to that to close the show. That's what we have in store for you. It is April 16, 2024. Thank you so much for joining us on this terrific Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Hopefully your Tuesday is better than a Monday. But maybe your Monday was perfect. And if it was, job well done. Because I know a lot of people dread Mondays. Not really that big of a deal to me, but I know some people are not big Monday people. So hopefully Tuesday is a much better day for you all. So the Kansas City Royals. Boy, do we have to get a lot of stuff here with the Kansas City Royals. We have to dive into all sorts of things. Well, let's start with the fact that the Kansas City Royals, they improved to 5-0 against the Chicago White Sox this year. 2-0 win last night in the Windy City, and it was the pitching once again that was able to propel the Royals to a victory. Seth Lugo pitches 7 crisp innings as the Royals beat the White Sox 2-0. Vinny Pasquantino also was able to homer in the game. Seth Lugo improved to 3-0. He allowed 4 hits, all of them singles, in his third straight win. The righty also beat the White Sox with 6 2/3 innings of one run ball back on April 4th. The Kansas City Royals have allowed a major league low 48 runs during their 11-6 start. The White Sox have scored 34 runs so far, also the lowest total in the big leagues. Former Royal Andrew Benintendi had two of Chicago's four hits in their fifth consecutive loss. It's all part of a franchise worst 2-14 start. The White Sox became the first team to get shut out six times in their first 16 games since a team back in 1907. That's how long it has been. That's how bad it has been for the Chicago White Sox. I know there's some people out there that are questioning the Royals and wondering if you can truly buy into what's going on for the Royals, because five of the 11 wins are against the Chicago White Sox. Look, the White Sox are bad. You got to beat the teams that are on your schedule. And so far, the Royals have yet to drop one against Chicago. Hopefully that continues tonight for the boys in blue. Seth Lugo, though, pitching a gem. And here's the thing, like, going into the season, Jack, I know we talked about this plenty of times, about expectations. Cole Reagan, so everyone expected him to be where he is right now with an ERA of 1.93. Brady Singer, I think it's still a little bit early about Brady Singer, but hey, his ERA is 0.98. That's not too shabby for him. Michael Wacha, not so great last time out. You have Alec Marsh, who's also been a little bit up and down. But Seth Lugo with a 1.05 ERA, I believe you had him as the Royals wins leader for 2024 when it's all said and done. He has made four quality starts with the Kansas City Royals. He's allowed three runs and four starts, which is pretty absurd. And his last 30 starts, he's tossed 21 quality starts. Seth Lugo maybe is truly the ace for the Kansas City Royals. I'm not going to have that conversation, but Jack, what do you make of Seth Lugo at this point? Everything that you expected, or has he exceeded expectations just like some of the Royals in general?
I think exceeded expectations so far just because he's only given up three runs in his four starts as a member of the Royal, and all Royals and all of his starts have been quality starts. Now, that was something I did expect. He racked up 17 of them last year, so you knew that was a part of his game, and he's now made 30 starts total, as you pointed out, in the last 2 years. So really, since switching over to a full-time starter, for making that transition of a back-end bullpen guy, if you will. But yeah, hard not to be impressed with what he's done. I mean, he's made three of his four starts at home, so we knew that was going to be a spot he was successful in because of the big ballpark at Kauffman Stadium. And then you go on the road, and you play a bad White Sox team, but I'll also say this. You know, he saw the White Sox 2 weeks ago and threw 6 1/3 or 6 2/3 one-run ball. It's hard to do that again to the same team a couple weeks later because they've got a book on you. They've seen you now, and a lot of the hitters that were in the lineup last night were in the lineup in Kansas City a few weeks back. So to do that again, I don't care who you're playing. That's tough to do because these are professional hitters. They are paid millions of dollars to be professional hitters, and when you make them look foolish for the second time in 2 weeks, that's impressive stuff. And I'm not saying Seth Lugo is going to have six shutout innings every single time out, but his track record from last year would tell you that on nights that he doesn't have his best stuff, he still keeps your team in the game. And that's why the Royals signed him, and that's why they feel like he's one of the anchors for this very good rotation.
Yeah, he's done very well so far. He has fit in quite nicely for the Kansas City Royals. Again, it is Chicago, but still, you'll take that. I saw that you quote tweeted someone earlier today with updated odds when it comes to MVP. Bobby Witt Jr. at plus 550 behind Juan Soto, who's plus 350 for the American League MVP. Well, that's quite juicy. You going to bite at that? I'm not going to ask if you're actually going to bet or not, but let's say you had a budget. Let's say I gave you $100, and out of that list, would you lay down that $100 on Bobby Witt Jr. right now?
You know, I think I'd be more inclined to lay money down on Matt Quatrero winning Manager of the Year, okay. Just because it's tough to, you know, pinpoint an MVP candidate so early. Now, he's going to be in the running. There's no doubt about that, and I think Cole Reagans, if he's healthy all year long, will absolutely be in the running for the Cy Young. But you look at, you know, what the Royals would have to do for Matt Quatrero to win Manager of the Year, I think it would be winning this division or making the playoffs. And right now, they've got a 35% chance of making the playoffs. So the more they continue to stay the course, tread water, he's going to be right up there in top three for odds. So if you gave me $100 and you presented me with those three options, I'd probably place it on Matt Quatrero, because all he has to do to win that is the Royals make the playoffs. And through the first 17 games, very early, of course, but that feels like a safer bet than, you know, singling out a player and they are the MVP, they are the Cy Young winner, because the Royals lost 106 games last year. If the Royals make the playoffs and get swept out of the wild card round or swept out of the divisional series, he still would win Manager of the Year because of that type of step you'd make in 1 year. So that's what I think I'd lean toward a little bit more so than picking one player to win such a prestigious award.
Yeah. All right. I buy that. You're kind of navigating where I was going to go to next, and that was, if I gave you the option for these three, what would you pick? So you make the what I would believe as the right move. Because, yeah, if you go from 100 losses to 100-plus losses to making the playoffs, that definitely gives you a shot to win Manager of the Year and puts you at the very top of my eyes. In case you're wondering about the others in the American League MVP race, I know Bobby Witt Jr. is right there at plus 550. But Aaron Judge is plus 900, in case you're wondering. Those are the top three guys. If you're looking at the American League Cy Young Award, Cole Reagans checks in at number three. He's got the third best odds at plus 700. Corbin Burns is plus 550 right now. And then you have Tarik Skubal, who's at plus 600. Grayson Rodriguez rounding out the top four when it comes to that. But, yeah, Matt Quatrero, I mean, right now, second best AL Manager of the Year odds. That would be great. Where are the Royals at now? Where are they? Plus 550 to win the American League Central? Did I see that correctly earlier? Plus 700? Plus 550?
I would need to double check on that, okay. But I'd imagine, yeah.
Or maybe plus 350? I can't remember.
It would be certainly increased odds at this point.
Yeah, it's when I saw that earlier today, I think I noted it to Shane. I was like, man, take a look at that. So they were plus 2,500 going into the year, and now here they are with some of the better odds to end up winning the darn thing in the American League Central. So that would be something for this Kansas City Royals team. Of course, still very early. Yes, they lost 2 of 3against the New York Mets, but here they are bouncing back against the Chicago White Sox. Currently at 11-6 in the AL Central standings. You have Cleveland at 11-5, Detroit's 9-7, Minnesota, it's been rough for the Twins at 6-9 for the year, and then you have the White Sox all the way at the bottom at 2-14. That is what it looks like right now in the American League Central. I know we're still watching this season develop, but now you got Brady Singer, who's set to take on the White Sox for today. He's 2-0 with an ERA .98. 18 and a third innings pitched, 10 hits, 18 Ks, just 4 walks. What will it take for you to buy into Brady Singer, Jack Johnson? What would be I know you say you wait until what? Is it May when you start making your judgments on teams and players a little bit more? But Brady Singer, what will it take stat-wise for you to go, all right, like now I'm buying Brady Singer. Like this is the pitcher that the Royals always expected.
Well, the rule of thumb that I've always gone back to is a 40-game sample size. I think around Memorial Day is when you go, this is likely what a player is going to look like. They're going to have ups and downs. They're going to get hot and cold. But usually after the first 40 games, you go, if the Royals were 23-17, you can probably make the guess that they're going to be competitive all summer. If they bottom out here shortly and they are, 16-24, it's like, okay, maybe this team just got hot in April and then cooled off significantly, and we can kind of expect that the rest of the year. And for a player, yeah, I'd imagine, for a starter, that would be give or take 8 starts, right, roughly, because you look at starting every fifth day, that would be 40 games. So, yeah, 8 starts. That, to me, is, I think, when I'd get a good grasp of where Brady Singer is at. But also the good thing is, he's the 4 starter. He's not a number 1 or a number 2. My expectations for Brady Singer and Alec Marsh aren't that high. I don't think that Brady Singer needs to be a sub-3 ERA guy. I'd certainly take it, but I'm not going to put that type of heat, that type of pressure on him. I put the pressure on Reagans, Lugo, and Waka to be the three anchors in that rotation. So really, if Brady Singer through eight starts has a 3.8, a low 4.1, 4.2 ERA, that's fine as a number four starter because that's still keeping you in a ton of games. I don't know if he returns to 2022 form, the Royals will have a top five rotation in baseball this year. And that, I think, would take you as far as, you know, a wild card spot or winning the division, because then there's four starters right there that are really tough to beat every single time out. And Alec Marsh is your wild card. He can be as good as throwing seven innings of one run ball, or he might be out before the fifth inning and give up, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 runs. But if your top four are looking like that, that's a really tough team to beat with a rotation that steady. And then it just comes down to health at that point. So for Brady Singer, eight starts, I think, would do it for me. What does he look like after eight starts? If he's got a low 3.5 or 3.3 ERA, that's more than good enough for me. As long as he keeps it below 4.5, I think, that sits well with me. If he's striking out anywhere from 8 to 9 guys per nine, he's walking less than 3 guys per nine, you know, his whiff rate is above 25%. His whip is right around league average, which would be roughly 1.1, maybe a little bit higher than that. That's fine by me. I mean, he doesn't need to be overpowering. He needs to make sure that he can, you know, go roughly 5 innings every single time out, and so far he's done that. I'm not really going to read too much into tonight in the same way that with Seth Lugo. I mean, you're facing a really bad offense, but the only thing you can do to a bad offense is dominate them. So for Brady Singer, add on to that confidence level. He's allowing less than a run per inning, right, or run per game right now. So you go out there and dominate again against the White Sox in a ballpark that you've struggled in throughout your career. It only builds that confidence, and you're one step closer to that 8-start mark, which is where I can really start to get a good gauge about how a pitcher will look throughout the season.
All right, wrapping things up here with the Royals. Some good news and some bad news when it comes to the boys in blue. Salvador Perez had an MRI yesterday that showed a mild groin strain, very much a promising development for Kansas City after he left the game on Sunday versus the New York Mets following a collision at home plate. And Matt Quatrero, he said it was the best result we could have hoped for, just a mild groin strain, nothing to do with his hip or any other body parts, so we were as happy as we could be with that. So yes, that is a good thing. Salvador Perez, he somewhat spoiled it on social media. He responded to someone who was saying, hey, I'm going to come up and catch a Royals game. Now Salvador Perez might not be there. And Salvi's like, no, I'm good to be there. I'll be playing. I'll be there. And I know some people go, source? Like, who's telling you this information? Yeah, Salvador Perez said that he was fine. And turns out the Kansas City Royals, they may have dodged a major bullet there when it comes to Salvador Perez. The not so great news, the Kansas City Royals, they say goodbye to Whitey Herzog, who guided the Royals to 3 AL West titles in the 1970s. He has passed away. He was 92 years old. The bulk of his success did come in St. Louis. He led the Cardinals to the 1982 World Series championship and 3 National League pennants. But in Kansas City, he molded a team of young stars like George Brett and Frank White, along with veterans like Hal McRae and Amos Otis and Paul Splendorf, into division champions. Way back in 2000, he told the Kansas City Star, for us to come with the Royals and win the division, almost get to the World Series, that was my biggest thrill in baseball. 27, he was inducted into the team's Hall of Fame back then. His teams won 90, 102, and 92 games. The Royals won the West from 1976 to 1978. The Royals fell to the New York Yankees in the AL Championship Series in each of those seasons. His .574 winning percentage is the best for a manager in Royals history. So some sad news there when it comes to Whitey Herzog, but man, what a guy, what a manager for the Kansas City Royals. I know when you think Royals baseball, you might think of players right off the bat like George Brett, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you better be thinking of Whitey Herzog right off the bat as well, being one of the greater managers to be there for the Kansas City Royals. All right, let's take a break. 316-247-0923 is a text line. Feel free to drop us your thoughts as we move along here on the show. Later on this hour, start planning for 2030, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that shortly. Hour number two, Tuesday with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. After that, we will have what's happening. We'll take a look at some of the national sports headlines, and then we will wrap things up with Take Two Tuesday with Jack Johnson. When we come back, we'll be joined by Matt Derrick with ChiefsDigest.com. We are officially 9 days away from the NFL draft. Catch it right here on ESPN Wichita, by the way. The Kansas City Chiefs, who do they select? What position would that be? We'll talk about the NFL draft and all things Kansas City Chiefs football with Matt Derrick next on The Pulse.
You're tuned into The Pulse on ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, it's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch? Every day, from lunch to late night. Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Hey, I'm Jackie, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit is the chicken. It is golden brown, so juicy, so delicious. It's the perfect savory start to my day.
Hey, I'm Matt, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit is the freshly baked, flaky, buttery biscuit. When I take a bite, it's kind of like, you know, crispy, soft, crispy. Crispy outside, soft interior, crispy chicken. There's really nothing like it.
Start your day with the Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit, available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real Chick-fil-A guests paid for their testimonials.
Did you know a fire department responds to a fire every 23 seconds? This Fire Prevention Month First Alert is reminding you to be prepared by installing smoke and carbon monoxide alarms on every level and in each bedroom of your home. Don't forget to add First Alert fire extinguishers on every level, plus in common spaces like the kitchen, and know how to use them. Protect your whole home with safety you can trust by visiting firstalert.com and Lowe's stores today.
Do you love your neighborhood but hate your home? Do you want to remodel your home but don't know where to start? Working with the design and construction team at Pinnacle Homes may be the answer. Our team will help you figure out how to make your space functional and beautiful. Call us today to remodel your whole home, kitchen, bathroom, or even to add a room onto your home. Are you ready to get started? Go to our website at remodelerswichita.com and book a consultation today. Pinnacle Homes, it's time that you love your home again.
Spring is here, and Burnell's Fine Jewelry and Design is bringing the sparkle with our highly anticipated Spring Bling Sale. Returning April 16th through the 20th, during our only store-wide sales event of the year, we are offering unbeatable discounts ranging from 20 to a whopping 70% off of over 1,000 stunning pieces, including rings, wedding bands, necklaces, earrings, and more. Hurry, these extraordinary deals are a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Don't let the sparkle slip away. Burnell's Spring Bling Sale is April 16th through the 20th.
Baseball is back. The Wichita Wind Surge returned to Riverfront Stadium to take on the Tulsa Drillers. It's the Propeller Series. Tuesday night, 7:05, bring your Dillon Shopper's card to get 2-for-1 tickets. Wednesday is a day game. First pitch, 12:05, enjoy lunch at the ballpark. The series continues all weekend. It's the Wind Surge and Drillers. For tickets and information, visit windsurge.com and listen to every game, home and away, on ESPN Wichita, 92.3 FM.
Nine days away from the NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs, who do they select? Well, I can make some guesses, but I'm not nearly as knowledgeable as the guy who currently joins us right now on the line. It is Matt Derrick with ChiefsDigest.com. He's brought to you by Intrust Bank. Today, it's time for easy. That's why there's free checking from Intrust Bank. Tradition for today, member FDIC. Hello, Matt. Surely you have done your research on every player in this year's NFL draft.
Not everyone. I'm working my way through. Then when I hear you say 9 days, I'm like, goodness gracious, that's not enough time. That is not enough time to get the work done that I need to get done. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do, Pat.
I just can't believe it's 9 days. Like, I thought, like, oh, it's April 16th. We got, like, another 2 weeks. No, we got nine. we got 9 days.
Fun.
That's right. Time does fly when you're having fun. Although, in your case, I guess we'll put that to the limit. We'll put that to the test as you rack your brain on what's going to happen for the Kansas City Chiefs going into the NFL draft. Before we get to that, though, hey, phase one is officially underway for the Chiefs. How exciting. I know it's so thrilling. You learn so much. There's just so much going on. But you had a chance yesterday to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Nick Bolton. We had a chance to play the Patrick Mahomes audio yesterday. I know Matt Derrick asked the question, so you could tell he was locked in. What'd you learn from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Nick Bolton yesterday for phase one of Kansas City Chiefs offseason training?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we learned a whole lot. We just got confirmation, I think, of a whole lot of things that we believed, especially when it comes to some subject like Rashee Rice and what's going to happen there. Probably the Chiefs draft plans. I don't think that Andy Reid said anything that we weren't expecting to hear. Oh, hey, wide receiver and tackle might be some positions they could be interested in. I think we all expected to hear that. I'll be more interested to see what Brett Veach has. We should, I think, hear from him on Thursday. So that will be some pretty entertaining to get some insight from him as far as how the draft is good looking and what they're up to. From Mahomes and Bolton, I mean, I think you kind of just, you know, got a good feel for how the off-season workouts are going to play out. I thought it was interesting from Bolton, you know, talking a little bit about just how much he was hurting at the end of the year and from the injuries and doing a little, you know, prehab this year as far as just building up some strength because he couldn't lift weights with that wrist for a long time, and just kind of getting back into football shape a little bit and getting prepared for this off-season and the coming season. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Obviously, you know, Mahomes talking about Hollywood Brown and you know, getting a little bit of insight into the rugby guy and how he might fit into the whole thing. There are certainly some interesting nuggets, but nothing terribly earth-shattering for me, at least for the first day of off-season workouts.
Yeah, it's always just kind of, all right, cool, phase one, it's going on, you know, cool, awesome. Like, it's rarely anything groundbreaking, but hey, the fact that phase one is officially underway, that means it'll be time for training camp, which you think NFL draft is just around the corner. Just wait. Next thing you know, you're going to be preparing for the training camp for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, so as it stands right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, where they sit in the NFL draft, who do you have going to the Kansas City Chiefs at this point? Or who are some options for Kansas City at this point?
Yeah, the more and more I go through the mock draft exercises and everything, you know, because I kind of like to do that and use the simulators just to kind of see it, get a feel for, you know, how the average draft might play out and what's available where and, you know, trade possibilities. And there's a couple of things that are, you know, coming apparent to me. And, you know, one is that, you know, I think it's just going to be pretty difficult for the Chiefs to get, you know, their choice of who they want at a certain spot. And I think there's certainly two positions at 32 in the first round that they could be targeting highly. I mean, we've always been talking about tackle and wide receiver. I think there's always another couple of positions that they could be interested in, particularly if a player drops to that spot. But then you just have to think about, hey, if there's a top 15 player that the Chiefs want, that drops down, you know, like a Trent McDuffie, somebody that they really covet and that they really have a first round grade on. But now it's all of a sudden available, you know, 21 or so. How do you go up to get that player? And, you know, what when do you make that move and who is it for? I think if the Chiefs want to get an out of the box, ready to start on day one tackle, I'm not sold it's going to be there at 32. I mean, if you think that somebody like Guyton from Oklahoma is that guy, then I guess, yes, maybe. But if you want like an Amarius Mims, even though in one of my simulations, he did fall to 32. I think that was an anomaly. You're going to have to go up and get them. And conceivably, a guy like Brian Thomas from LSU, the wide receiver, that is just universally considered, the fourth best receiver in this class, a guy like that is gettable. I think he can be available around in that 23 to 25 range. And, the Chiefs have that third-round pick from Tennessee for a reason. They're going to ship it. Brett Veach is going to use that draft pick to move up somewhere. So moving up to me in the first round, if it's for somebody like Thomas or for Mims, I could absolutely see that being done in a heartbeat. If the Chiefs sit at 32, I think at that point you're just hoping that one of the receivers you want falls to you. And, I'm guessing that's Ladd McConkey. There could be some other options too. But to me, I'll be honest. The one thing I'm starting to look at more and more is just the second round, because when you're sitting at 64, there's nothing but third-round picks left. That's just the third-round grades. That's just the reality of it. You're not going to get – it's kind of the same way at 32. It's hard to get value at 32 because by that point, most of the players that you have first-round grades on are gone. Most teams are going to have like 15 to 20 players that they've got first-round grades on. Those are going to be gone by 32. Then, most teams will tell you that there's probably another 30 to 40 players who are, good players. So, they might, be that next tier, be a second-round guy. Probably closer to 30 than 40. And then after that, they're barely indistinguishable for a few rounds. So you add it up. If you have 15 first-round grades and you got 30, in the next tier, it's 45. You're sitting at 64, Pat. There's just not a lot of chance that the guy you want's there, which is why Brett Veach has usually been pretty aggressive in the second round. And if they don't move up in the first, I think he's absolutely moving up in the second to get somebody.
I'm glad you bring that up, because I was going to ask about the second round. Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com joining us here on the Pulse, brought to you by Interest Bank. Because, yeah, if you take a look, everyone keeps saying that in this draft, wide receiver, offensive line, those are two premier positions that you can go after, and you could get someone that can be ready to rock and roll. But as you brought up right there, how many guys in the second round, like how deep is it truly there? And then the answer to you is not all that deep. So you expect Brett Veach to be a little bit more aggressive. With that being said, if Kansas City, let's say Kansas City stays at where they are in the first round, do they get a day one starter with that 32nd pick?
Possibly. I think – now, that's where, going different positions actually could come into it, because sitting at 32, there's a couple of different ways you could go. I think that they could get a decent receiver. There is enough depth at receiver that I think you could still get a guy that isn't a day one starter, is at least somebody that by the end of the season would be, in your top three or four of your rotation easily, and could absolutely be a Rashee Rice type. As far as being able to come in and be close to a 1,000-yard guy. There is that much depth. There's probably seven or eight receivers at the top that you could get. It's just that, once you get beyond the top four, that next group, it is kind of that toss and turn. I think the first four picks that you're going to have, three of them are probably going to go in the top five, could conceivably go in the top five. And then Thomas from LSU might go a little bit further down. But those top four are generally considered to be, immediate starters, long-term players, low bust potential. The next group, you're probably 50-50. Half of them are going to be good players. Half of them aren't. Maybe they'll be role players. But, there's a chance that even less than that. All four of those, maybe there's four or five in that group, all of them could bust. You never know. There's just too much bum and bust potential at there. So to me, yeah, if you're getting one of the the receivers that's maybe 5 through 10 on your draft board, you're gonna have a little bit of a leap of faith. And that's why, to me, if you're taking a receiver at 32, at least you're getting your pick of the litter. If you pass and you're taking a receiver in the second round, you're probably gonna get somebody that you like but maybe isn't universally loved. And that kind of, brings me up with, I know Peter Schrager had his mock draft, and yeah. And there's nobody who is tied in, I think, more with Brett Veach than Peter Schrager. So when he projects something, I'm like, okay, there's definitely something there. So he's got them taking, what, is it Jalen Polk?
From Washington. Yeah, from Washington. Yep.
And I buy that. But at 32 is a stretch. That to me is – I think it's more that they're interested in him in the second round, which would mean, okay, you're going somewhere else in the first, and then you're trading up in the second to get your guy.
Yeah, and see, and that's what I was going to ask. You brought up trading up in the second. What are the chances they trade out of the first round?
That is a possibility as well. I mean, if the players that you know you're particularly in love with is not there, trading back for some more picks would be a Brett Veach kind of move. The question is going to be, is there a market for it? You know, that fifth-year option doesn't seem to have the allure that it once did, especially for quarterbacks, because chances are that if you get a quarterback with a fifth-year option, honestly, with the way that the new CBA is structured, the fifth-year option might be as damaging as the franchise tag. So there might not be a whole lot of distinction between it. It doesn't seem to have the appeal. And honestly, I mean, there's a couple of quarterbacks that, you know, does Michael Penix fall at that point? Is Bo Nix still on the board? I would assume that he would be. And is there a team who wants to trade up to get them? The last couple of times Chiefs have had 32, their problem has been finding a buyer because they just didn't have a market for it. So, yeah, I mean, I could see them being in a place where they'd love to maybe slide back. It's just, can they find a dance partner?
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com joining us here on The Pulse. He's brought to you by Intrust Bank. I'm not going to lie, I looked at your mock draft. I would love to see Austin Booker in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. That'd look great. That'd be fantastic. Former Kansas Jayhawk winding up in Kansas City in round number two. Did you do that on purpose? How painful was that for you to write, Mr. Mizzou boy?
You know, honestly, it wasn't too painful because Austin Booker's a good player. Really, I was really impressed with him at the combine. Obviously, I have one concern with him, which is obviously that he's got one proven year at the college level. And, you know, and that's one thing that is a bit of a red flag for me. I mean, I want more than 1 year of production because it makes me wonder, just right time, right place. You know, you get this kind of thing. I mean, Cornell Powell was that kind of guy. Had a huge year his last year at Clemson. Well, that was also followed like four or five, you know, really average years at Clemson, below average years. It's just that 1 year explosion that's like, okay, maybe it's fool's gold. I don't think it is with Booker. I mean, I think that there's still he's got maybe a low floor, but I think he's got a really high ceiling too. Doesn't have a ton of experience because I think Dan Berglund noted he only played like 505 college snaps, but he had a ton of production. So yeah, to me, it's a little bit of a risk. I think there's obviously some boom and bust there, but the fact that he was so productive in such a limited amount of time tells me something. I mean, it wasn't like he had, you know, just 2 years of nonsense. It could have just been that Minnesota didn't know how to use him. It wasn't taking advantage of him properly. And then he got to a place where it was good coaching and an opportunity, and he made the most of it. And that kind of, to me at least, makes you overlook the only 1 year of production. But size, length, everything like that, I mean, there's a lot to like in the kid.
And just to go to show you, Matt Derrick doesn't let his bias affect his work. In round four, he's got a K-Stater, Cooper Beebe, going to the Kansas City Chiefs. You're just tugging at the heartstrings of every Kansas and Kansas State fan.
What does it say, Pat, that I ended up taking a Wildcat and the Jayhawk, and I didn't land a Tiger at all? I mean, now granted, I mean, had I been looking to move up and – you know what? I mean, I could actually paint a scenario where the Chiefs do this. If they were able to trade out of 32 and maybe they pick up like an extra second or a third or somewhere around there, maybe they trade back. Maybe they get a guy like Darius Robinson from Mizzou or Ennis Rakestraw. They've been interested in both those guys, but they've also shown a lot of interest in Booker and Beebe as well. And Beebe is a sneaky need for this team because everybody's talking about, you know, receiver and tackle. But, you know, one of the things in the draft that you have to look for is, you know, what are your needs in the next year? And in 25, you know, right now the Chiefs don't have Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith under contract. You have Joe Tooney with a $26.9 million cap hit where you could save $16 million by walking away from his age 33 season. You know, you've got the potential where a year from now you don't have any of your interior starting under the line under contract. Obviously, you got the franchise tag available for either Humphrey or Smith if you wanted to. But, you know, Trey Smith is also probably going to, if he has a healthy, productive year, he's going to be a $20 million player next year. And then you throw Nick Bolton in on top of that as going to be a potential free agent. So, you know, yeah, I mean, that's why, to me, interior offensive line is a really sneaky need for this team. And Beebe would be a great pick. I mean, he obviously, I think he'd be your swing interior guy next year, but he'd be ready to step into the starting lineup in 25.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it. I interviewed Cooper Beebe before. He comes from a great family. We'd love to see that happen. I think that would be a terrific fit for the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, so let's break it down this way. You have a sneaky need being guard. You have wide receiver, obviously. You have tackle, obviously. What are the other position groups as you round out your top five? Would it be safety? Would it be another corner now that you have L'Jarius Sneed in Tennessee? What do you think?
Yeah, corners are really difficult ones to judge because there's been some people who've been mocking a corner to the Chiefs with the rationale being you need to replace L'Jarius Sneed. I'm just not of the philosophy necessarily that you have to replace L'Jarius Sneed because I think you've got the depth on your roster now. If you're a Chiefs fan and you're thinking to yourself, okay, we're going to have a starting lineup of Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Chamari Connors can probably play a little nickel. And then I've got, you know, more depth behind that. I got Nick Jones, I got Echo Boydo, I've got Dave Merritt coaching these guys up. I mean, I don't know that I necessarily see the need. I mean, if Brett Veach picks a corner early, I'm not going to argue with it because, you know, you can never have enough long guys that can cover, and he absolutely believes that. But to me, that's almost one of those positions that you are doing such a good job right now of scouting those corners and then having Dave Merritt coach them up that I would just keep sticking with that plan. You know, there's no – I mean, hey, Trent McDuffie is a great player. There's no doubt about that. They were absolutely right on in their scouting. And if you feel the same way about him and that you feel like maybe – you feel like Kool-Aid McKistry is one of those guys and he's available late in the first round, okay. But, you know, the Chiefs have been just so good at drafting late-round, middle-round corners and then coaching them up. Take advantage of that and, you know, and use your higher picks on, you know, other positions of need. And, yeah, safety is a sneaky one for me, too, because remember, Justin Reed's not under contract for next year. So unless you're planning on signing him long term, you know, who are your safeties in 25? Okay, it's Brian Cook and Shamari Connor. If you feel good about that group of starters, well, the Chiefs are a three safety team. I mean, they need three starting safeties, essentially. So that's why I think that's a bit of a need because, you know, dropping off from Justin Reed to whom your third safety would be right now, I think is a pretty steep drop. So if you were looking at replacing Justin Reed this year, that's when you do it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Matt Derrick, well, I think that's pretty much it. I don't think I have anything else because it's relatively quiet. When are we going to see Matt Derrick on the front cover of Time magazine?
Well, hopefully never because I think the only way I'd be on the front cover is if I've done something terrible. I don't know if there's anything I can do good enough to get on the cover of Time, unless I'm just standing in the background while somebody else is doing something awesome.
Well, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he'll be the front cover. You can get there.
I could be standing next to you or behind you when you do something awesome, and then I'm on the front cover of Time.
Yeah, well, there's no way. I would break the camera. There's no way I'd be able to make it on the front cover. I'd break the camera. That's what happens. That's why I gotta watch myself when I get in front of cameras. I tell people all the time, like, hey, if your camera breaks, don't look at me. Like, I warned you, this is the problem that we have when it comes to that. I'm not the male model here, all right? I'm not the male model like Matt Derrick. So,
hey,
you know.
They say the camera adds 10 pounds, and if I was on the cover of Time magazine, people would be asking exactly how many cameras were on me.
Oh, Matt Derrick, good one to end on. All right, man, you have yourself a great week, and I'm sure we'll get another look at your mock draft next week ahead of NFL draft. So enjoy yourself, keep your sanity, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Pat. Take care, my friend.
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com right here on the Pulse. Appreciate him hopping on today. He's brought to you by Interest Bank. 9 days away from the NFL draft, day one, and you can catch it right here on ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM. Crazy, crazy to think that we are that close. Last year, I think we did like a mock draft Monday. We did that for like four consecutive Mondays going into it. This year, we decided to change things up just a little bit, but you better believe on Monday we will probably be looking at all sorts of options for the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of pick number 32 in round one of the NFL draft. What do you think the Chiefs are going to do? 316-247-0923. That is a text line. Do you have someone in mind? Let us know. When we come back, let's plan for 2030, 2031. Because that's how it works in college football nowadays. Kansas State was able to get a non-conference opponent officially under contract. We'll tell you who when we come back here on The Pulse.
The heartbeat of Wichita sports fans. The Pulse on ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
Hey, happy 420. This is Jeff from CBD American Shaman Derby, where this month every day is 420. Buy four items and get 20% off. Also take advantage of our new hours. Open till 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Life is better with the feather.
Listen to every Jayhawk football and basketball game on Wichita's biggest station, ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
We're approaching our three-year mark of being here as a staff, and to see where we were in the fall of 21, being the youngest Power 5 football team in the country, to now where we're going to a program that's been pretty stable.
The Jayhawks play here, only on ESPN Wichita 92.3 FM.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
When you grill with Kingsford charcoal and add Kingsford garlic, onion, and paprika flavor boosters, your special occasion becomes unforgettable.
Wow.
Made with 100% real spices, Kingsford garlic, onion, and paprika flavor boosters can be added to any pre-lit charcoal to add a whole new rich, full-bodied flavor and aroma to your spring grilling. Mmm, so good. Look for Kingsford charcoal and Kingsford garlic, onion, and paprika flavor boosters for a mouth-watering flavor experience. Kingsford.com.
Attorney Joe Cordell. Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Missouri or Kansas attorneys. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. CordellCordell.com.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it? That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
A reminder to all of you individuals, if you haven't done so yet, you should get on it. Sign up for our first ever ESPN Wichita Listener Golf Tournament. It is taking place on Tuesday, June 4th at Rolling Hills Country Club. 7:30 is when check-in begins, plus breakfast. 9 o'clock is when the four-man scramble gets underway. If you want to be a part of it, go to ESPNWichita.com and get signed up today. You have until the rest of the week to capitalize on a very special offer. First and foremost, to sign up, it's $92.30. You get golf in a cart. You do get breakfast. You get lunch taken care of. We'll have a ton of prizes. Not to mention, you're going to get a goodie bag. You'll get a welcome bag when you show up. But here's why you should sign up now. Don't sit back and wait. If you sign up now through the end of the week, each person that signs up gets a pair of tickets to a future Winsurge game of their choice in 2024. You hear that correctly. You get free WinSearch tickets for signing up. It's pretty good value because I know where the tickets are. They're really good value. That's what I'm just telling you right now. So get signed up. Go to the website. There is a big graphic that says ESPN Wichita Golf Tournament. You click on it, get redirected, fill out the information. It's very simple. You only have to fill out one person. If you want to golf by yourself, we'll make it work. If you have a team that's ready to rock and roll, we can get that on there as well. So roughly $370 is the cost. Pretty sweet deal. Tuesday, June 4th in the morning. Come join us for that day. I think it is going to be a lot of fun talking to all these different people, all these different businesses that are wanting to be a part of it. They are coming up with some really cool things, prizes, different holes. Topgolf's going to be out there, for instance. Topgolf is going to be out there, and there's going to be a little bit of a challenge before you even get started with the tournament, and you can win some really, really cool stuff. That's just one of the many businesses that are being a part of this. So come on out on Tuesday, June 4th. Get signed up today. Go to ESPNWichita.com. Sign up for our first ever ESPN Wichita Listener Golf Tournament. Would love to have you out there. 10 minutes away from a Tuesday with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll talk about the Shockers landing a player from the transfer portal. I said going into the break that Kansas State was able to get a non-conference opponent wrapped up for 2030. You heard that correctly. That's one thing I still can't get over, is the fact that for college basketball, you tend to find out on a yearly basis. When it comes to football, you're signing up for many years in advance. And that is the case here for this opponent. Kansas State is set to take on a team from the Pac-12, formerly of the Pac-12. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to wait and see. The Wildcats have announced that they will play a home-and-home series against the Oregon State Beavers in 2030 and in 2031. First game takes place at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan, and the return trip happening a year later in Oregon. Had this series been agreed to last year, it would have been billed as, well, I would say probably must-see football because it is the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Now the conference affiliation is murky for the Beavs because the Pac-12 is down to just two teams at the moment, with Oregon State and Washington State pushing the league forward after all of its other former members left for the ACC, Big 12, and the Big 10. What conference will Oregon State call home in 2030? Jack, care to take a guess at where Oregon State might be when this game actually takes place? Or maybe what's more likely to happen? Oregon State is in the Big 12, or Oregon State finds a way to poach teams from the Mountain West to join the Pac-12. What's going to happen by the time we get to 2030?
I'll say they're going to be in the Pac-12, or they create their own conference by poaching teams in the Mountain West.
Okay. You think that's more likely? I think it's very interesting to see this game on the schedule. And I don't think it's going to be like an Arizona situation for Kansas State, where Arizona has a non-conference game with the Wildcats, and then Arizona gets invited to the Big 12, they join, and then you'll have to take on Arizona for an actual conference game after you wrap things up, after you get the contract fulfilled, if you will, for K-State in Arizona. I don't think we're going to be dealing with that situation. However, Oregon State, Washington State, we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen with the Pac-12. I think we're still sitting here left a little bit dumbfounded by maybe the lack of movement. But I guess there's no need to really push at this point. It doesn't seem like anyone else is going to be poached. But although, I will say, for conference realignment, I saw a long shot of a theory out there in the Twitter sphere, and it had to deal with Clemson and Florida State and ESPN was behind the scenes kind of pulling the strings. I thought it was very conspiracy theory-esque, that's for sure. Oregon State, K-State, set to take place in 2030. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two begins with a Tuesday with Taylor Eldridge. Hope you can join us in hour number two here on The Pulse.
Wichita's new sports leader, ESPN Wichita, 92.3 FM, KKGQ, Newton.